Good morning, everyone. Very quiet. What's happened? What did I miss? Oh, they weren't. I was going to say, I thought I'd come into an empty church. It's lovely to come and to worship, and today on the first Sunday of Lent, a time when people may have given up something. Has anyone given anything up for Lent? Your chocolate? Cakes and biscuits? You've got nothing left to give up. Oh, super holy Steve. Or has someone started something for Lent? Yes, we'd like to share? You're having a wash for Lent. Eat more chocolate. Nice. Praying for the family. Yes? Anybody else? Right. Okay, well, you think about it while we're talking. But it's a time also when, I don't know why, when we say it's the beginning of Lent, people then find more time to find that quiet space to be with God. As we were sharing on Friday, actually, we should find time to be with God every day, 365 days. But when it's the start of Lent, somehow we get a little bit more like, I should do that. More righteous, perhaps. But it is a time when we journey with Jesus towards the cross and to that wonderful resurrection morning. Lent is a season, as we know, of 40 days, not counting Sundays, if anyone's ever tried to count 40 days, and then thought, oh, hang on a minute, that doesn't take us to Easter. Don't count the Sundays. And it began, as we know, on Ash Wednesday, and continues on until Holy Saturday. Some say Holy Thursday, but if you count 40 days, that goes beyond Thursday, so... And it comes from the Anglo-Saxon word lectern, or lecten, meaning Friday group, which means, thank you, I had them primed and ready, because we share together, lect meaning lengthen, and refers to the lengthening of the days of spring. Oh, at last, spring has sprung for a few days. And as we start today, we have a traditional Lent reading. And I'm going to reflect on how Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and what we can learn from his experiences and our own experiences in the wilderness. What is the landscape of our lives now? And as we think together about our own wilderness, could it be that the Holy Spirit has led us there into that dry and difficult place? And if so, why? But then we get that opportunity to ask more of God's Holy Spirit. Tom Schumann writes, Jesus began his ministry to the world, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. As we begin our Lenten journey, let us be led by the Spirit, even into the uncomfortable places. In those 40 days and in that place, Jesus was faced with hunger, doubt, and temptation. As we seek to follow Jesus, we would be led even into the uncomfortable choices. Jesus left the wilderness faithful and obedient to God, rejoicing in the one in whom he trusted. As we continue on our path to faithfulness, we will be led by our Christ, rejoicing in the Lord our God. Amen. And so we'll sing number 50, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our man of the new creation. We thank you that he has was prepared to come to earth to identify with our sin and die in our place. We thank you that he was willing to pay the death penalty for each one of us here and the sin of the whole world. We thank you that we have become a new creation in Christ by faith, and that in him we have been reconciled back to God, forgiven of our sins, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and received his eternal life. I pray that we too may live in submission to the Holy Spirit all the days of our lives, and be obedient to your word, so that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit and do only those things that are pleasing in your sight. Father God, we come with hesitant steps and uncertain motives to sweep out the corners where sin has accumulated and uncover the ways that we have strayed from your truth. Expose the empty and barren places where we don't allow you to enter. Reveal our half-hearted struggles, where we have been indifferent to the suffering of others. Almighty God, your Son fasted in the wilderness and faced human temptations. Give us courage to face and name our own temptations and to direct our lives in obedience to your Spirit. You know us better than we know ourselves. May we know you and grow closer to the vision that you have for us through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord God, there are many among us who face barren times, wilderness times in their lives. Help us to minister your loving presence to them in those times so that they may come through the wilderness and enter the promised land. Help us to bring food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, shelter to the homeless, courage to those who struggle, and hope to those who are tempted to despair. Lord God, in this time of continuing and impending conflict between nations, this time when we are being tested to see if we will do justice as well as love mercy, we pray for guidance and for your light to lead the way of the rulers of our nation and the nations worldwide. Let us worship God and walk the journey together, seeking your Holy Spirit as our guide and companion along the way. Nurture the faint stirrings of new life where your Spirit has begun to grow. Let your healing light transform us into the image of your Son, for you alone can bring new life and make us whole. We ask these things through Jesus, our brother, our Saviour, and our Lord. Amen. And as we think about, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I was just about to say Jesus never got distracted from the kingdom work, and then I got distracted. I was just so excited I wanted to tell you that Jesus never got distracted from the kingdom work, which shows us how we too need to remember God's word. And so we'll sing number 590, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. As I said last week, if a reading is in three or more of the Gospels, then it's important. And so our reading this morning is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so it's important. And that also gives me a choice. Which one shall I read it out of? Or shall I have it read out of? So we're going to look at Luke this morning. And before it's read to you, Luke chapter 3 explained how John the Baptist preached to prepare others to receive Jesus Christ. And then Luke provides Jesus' earthly ancestry. And as we come to chapter 4, it begins with Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Before starting his public preaching and healing ministry, Jesus goes alone into the wastelands near Judea. And for anybody who's been there, seen them, or seen pictures, they are really wastelands. There's not a lot going on. He spends 40 days fasting, nearly the limit of what a human body can survive without food. This experience is driven by the Holy Spirit, but also includes temptation. So I'll ask Brian if you'll come and give us our reading.
The reading you'll find on page 1030, chapter 4 of Luke, for those that wish to follow it in the church Bibles. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 13. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Do you want me to help you? Thanks, Brian. Did you notice from when Brian read to us that it's the Holy Spirit who leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? That isn't the sort of thing that I personally would expect the Holy Spirit to do. Satan appears, enticing Jesus in several ways. All three temptations involve turning away from God's plan, seeking something easier or quicker. Doesn't it sound like us sometimes? Let's do it the easy way. Let's do it the quicker way. Let's not do it God's way, because that's going to take time. But having failed to tempt Jesus, we see that Satan leaves him and goes elsewhere. After enduring temptation and starvation, Jesus comes back to Galilee and begins his ministry full of the Holy Spirit. And so this passage helps us to consider the freedom, spiritual freedom temptation can offer when we trust God and know his word. And also, as we come to sing number 587, be bold enough to ask him to search me, O God. Let's join together and sing 587.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, you know our hearts. You have knitted our innermost being, and you know our deepest desires, our deepest fears, our deepest worries. Help us to journey during this Lenten season into a new awareness of your presence in our lives. Lord, may we be blessed to hear your word, and may you be blessed as we respond. Amen. As I think about the whole time of Lent, from the temptation in the wilderness through to the crucifixion, the resurrection, I realise that Jesus' victory is our victory. Because of Jesus, we've won. Do you believe that? This is me checking that you're still awake. Right, we failed miserably last week. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Thank you. I will ask you again. I'm sure that we can all agree that we live in a world where it means that we're going to encounter temptation constantly. Get bombarded, don't we, day in, day out, with stuff and things and problems and, life. But it's not the end. This is not what it's, we're just travelling through. I always smile, as I think I've said before, ironically, at the quote from playwright Oscar Wilde, who said, "I can resist anything except temptation," which implied in that statement that he didn't even try to fight it. Imagine for a moment that the devil has decided to turn his attention to you, or to me, to test us, to tempt us, to try to stop us from following Jesus. We're a threat to the devil. After all, we're followers of Jesus. We're here worshipping our Lord. And trust me, the devil really doesn't like that. So imagine that he's decided to turn you from your faith. And he's going to approach you in three different ways, each way an attempt to try and turn you away from God. Three ways that the devil thinks might work, might tempt you to wander off the narrow way. As Jesus calls it, we're all on the narrow way. What might those be for you? And they're going to be a little bit different for each one of us. Thinking about that and really sincerely grappling with it is an important aspect of our Lenten journey. In today's gospel reading, we find the devil doing that very thing with Jesus. Testing him, tempting him during the 40 days in the wilderness. The devil is desperately trying to seek ways to stop Jesus from doing the work that our Heavenly Father sent him to do. And what is so helpful about our reading is that we get to learn from Jesus himself how to deal with temptation that the devil confronts us with. The temptations will be different for us than they were for Jesus, of course, because we are not the Son of God, in case anyone's got ideas of grandeur. But still, we can learn from Jesus how to overcome whatever temptations that we might face. And so that's it in its simplest form. If only it was as simple as that, we say. We know, if we've been honest with ourselves and with God, that we haven't got through, probably even this morning, the last 24 hours or even the last week without falling into temptation somewhere, if we're being honest with ourselves. We remember the words of Jesus to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal. "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So you may ask, why should Jesus be tempted at all? Because as we read and study God's word, we learn that innocent faith is not strong faith. Innocent faith may be pure, but it needs testing to be strong. It's only after we've committed to Christ that the battle really begins. keep saying, if you thought it was going to be easy once you gave your life to Christ, nope. The fight really starts. Because the evil one's not really interested in you before that, because his work's already done. So when you commit your life to Christ, he doesn't want you to do that. And so the battle is both inevitable and necessary for us to begin to experience spiritual freedom in our lives. For Jesus, the battle was somewhat different. He does not have that inward vulnerability to give in to temptation, because as we read, his nature wasn't sinful like ours. But he knows what it is to be tempted, and he's now interceding for each one of us, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. 1 John 2 helpfully boils down all three temptations into three categories, and Jesus was tempted in all three. The first one being the lust of the flesh, for us to do something, for it's like our passions. Secondly, the lust of our eyes, that temptation to have something, our possessions, our stuff. And then the pride of life, temptation for us to be something. And that's probably the hardest one in a world at the moment that tells you you have to be this and you have to be that, to be famous, to be acceptable, to be part of the in crowd. I once heard a preacher about Jesus' temptations passage and how we can look at it differently, and helps us consider the spiritual freedom that temptation can offer when we trust God and know his word. And it encourages us to ask questions. You know how much I like to ask questions. What if temptation is more than a yes or no question to be answered? What if temptations are more about our learning how to live God's way? What if our response to temptation is more about asking God to search our hearts, as we've just sung? Are we brave enough? What if temptation is necessary for our salvation, wholeness, and restoration? What if instead of only asking what we will do with our temptations, we also asked what we are willing to let our temptations do with us? Whoa, that's a lot of questions. You sitting comfortably? We're going to be here a while. Does it help us to think about temptation in those ways? Do we even think about temptation, or are we so blind to it that we carry on through life thinking that we're okay doing life our way? Does it offer a different way of engaging in life and in our faith? How often do we take ourselves off into those wilderness places? How often do we find ourselves in that spiritual desert? It becomes clearer when we see what comes before and after today's reading. The baptism of Jesus is the story immediately before, and Luke adds the genealogy, clearly showing Jesus' true identity, and it is his ministry in Galilee and teaching in the Nazareth synagogue that immediately follows. So let's look at temptation, both Jesus' and our own, in light of that pattern of baptism, wilderness, and ministry. Jesus went to the wilderness immediately after having been baptized, as we read in chapter 3, 21 to 22. We read that the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and God the Father declared, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Father claimed and identified Jesus as his own, just as he does with each one of us who calls on his name, comes in faith, and is baptized in the Spirit. After his baptism, Jesus entered the wilderness with the Father's words echoing in his ears. That's why it's so important that we don't just read a passage in isolation, that we look to see what happens before and after. His identity and relationship with the Father was given before he went, even before he faced or responded to the first temptation. The temptations and the struggles in the desert didn't determine how God would see Jesus, but how Jesus would see himself. The devil's words, "If you are the Son of God," began his temptation of Jesus. It was less a yes or no question about making bread and more a question of Jesus knowing himself and knowing for himself. It's an important question to ask ourselves as well, isn't it? If you are a child of God, if you can answer yes to that question, then you're on your way in the journey. In struggling with his temptations, Jesus began to know himself, to be filled with and led by God's Holy Spirit. After Jesus was baptized, Satan tried to deter him by suggesting better ways to accomplish his work. But the devil had inadvertently tempted Jesus into knowing and experiencing the truth about himself, his sonship, his belovedness, and his Father's pleasure. Jesus' identity and relationship with the Father was no longer only words spoken from heaven, but a truth and a reality experienced in the wilderness. A truth and a reality that Jesus would speak to the people of Nazareth, as he said later on in chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Our temptations and our struggles and wilderness experiences offer an opportunity to become more whole, more integrated, more fully ourselves, the people that God created us to be. That's what they did for Jesus, and it's what they can do for us. As a result of the temptations, Jesus was stronger and more prepared for his ministry because he had rejected three false ways of fulfilling God's plan. If the devil had had his way, Jesus would only be providing for people's material needs. He'd be only using his power to do miraculous tricks and win popularity. He would have given in to evil in order to gain political power. The devil sought to avoid Jesus going to the cross at all costs. Jesus could only go to the cross for each one of us because he is free from sin. The devil failed. And we know that he has another go as Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we'll hold on to that one till later. Jesus Christ is our great example and teacher when it comes to resisting temptation. He was tempted in all things as we are, but yet without sin. Jesus knew that proving he was God's son would come by submitting himself to the cross, not throwing himself from a high building. Jesus had his eyes on our salvation, and he knew he couldn't accomplish it by taking a detour around the cross. We tend to focus on the person, the thing, or the situation that's tempting us, but it is really about us. Our temptations say more about what's going on within us than what is happening around us. That's why just say no is overly simplistic understanding of this gospel and an inadequate response to temptation. Temptation is less about choice and more about identity and direction in life. The type of temptations that we experience and the circumstances by which they come are unique to each one of us because they reveal what's going on inside us, what fills us. That means that whatever fills us, whatever is going on inside of us, is manifested and triggered by the external circumstances of temptation. Luke tells us that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Something that we could easily overlook as we skip over the introduction to get to the temptations. Temptation offers something to be discovered and the opportunity to recover ourselves. And so we ask ourselves, what are we full of? What fills our lives? So then, how do we resist the temptations? We return to the example of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Each of his temptations was met, if you realize, with the same answer. It is written. And then followed by the scripture passages from Deuteronomy. If the Son of God used the word of God to effectively end the temptations, which we know works because after three failed efforts, the devil leaves him, how much more do we need to use it to resist our own temptations? All our efforts to resist would be weak and ineffective unless they are powered by the Holy Spirit through the constant reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. In this way, as Paul puts it in his letter to the Romans, we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There is no other weapon against temptation except the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus would continue to go off to that quiet place throughout his ministry, something we are asked to do too, to discover who we are in Jesus and with the help of the Holy Spirit, allow him to help us look at what tempts us, what causes us to stumble and to fail, what distracts us. Who are the people that wind us up? There you go, see? You're thinking, I know exactly who that person is. What situations trigger a response other than one that we would like it to be? It's not about the people, the situations, or things. It's about us and discovering what fills and directs our lives, what's going on in us. As hard as it can be on ourselves, we don't pass or fail our temptations. We learn the truth about how we see ourselves. We learn the truth about the direction our life is headed and what we are becoming. This lesson is neither easy nor pain-free, but it's necessary learning by which God reshapes and redirects our lives. If you remember the chorus, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. So this Lent, as we journey with Jesus to the cross and his glorious resurrection, let's start in the wilderness. Let's start in the quiet place. Whatever you're going through, believe that God is preparing you and giving you an increasing authority for whatever it is that he's calling you to do. Ask him again to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Know that God looks at each one of us with pleasure. Listen to his voice saying to you, you are my child, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. May we be bold enough to ask God through his Spirit to search us, to show us, to forgive us, and let us follow the learning that they offer us. Where will they take us? They will give us back ourselves. They will return us to the truth of who we are, daughters and sons of God, beloved children with whom he is well pleased. That's the gift of temptation and the good that the devil unintentionally does. Spiritual freedom. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. And then we learn from the devil's distractions. We will be tempted. But it's how we react to that temptation that matters, because every temptation is an opportunity to trust God. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for those who feel as dry as dust, for those who find themselves in wilderness places, as they feel emptiness and longing. May they hunger for your word and may you sustain them. Lord, help us to see the devil's offers for what they are, enticements to sin. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you and your word, and our ears attentive to you in prayer. The best way to escape temptation is to run to God. As we embark upon this journey into the desert, we get into our hearts and we get them right with you. Using the words of Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love." Lord, again, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to grow in authority in our words and actions. Amen. And so we'll join together and sing 1072, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found."
In Christ alone.
Bless you. Let's pray. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Lord, may that be our prayer as we go from this place. May we keep on praising. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Help us to grow in you, in our words and our actions, and whatever you have for us this week. Amen.